And those two databases, the DDI Database Initiative and the Enterprise Database, form the hub of our technology work in an integrated way at the Department of Education with an overall plan and vision for that effort. If you then take those and build on it, the TESA program you heard about yesterday and the tremendous innovation that it can provide for students, and then separate work we did around the nutrition database, it again gives us a strong base to operate from. I'll just mention that the nutrition database deals with $93 million of money, 609 sponsors or providers for food, was done with $720,000 of federal dollars, again, in budget on time, and has been a national model for work around that effort. That brings us to the Data Integrity Assurance Program and how it fits in with the framework I've just described. This project proposes the use of $10.5 million of state money, 70% of the money that's needed, with a 15% participation by school districts and another 15 from either federal funds or foundations. I want to point out the difference and distinction between the database initiative that exists at a state level and what this data assurance project would do. The database initiative allowed us to create at the state level a method of gathering, collating, integrating information through a uniform chart of accounts and uniform information that was fed to us from the districts. The critical question that comes is, as we're more and more basing in excess of $5 billion of spending for schools, a report card reporting on schools, and the transition of students from higher education and business in this state on that database initiative information, how complete, how good, and how competent is the information coming from the individual districts? And I want to suggest several critical things around that. 70 out of our 200 school districts are losing their data collection system, the OTIS system. And so a part of this overall effort is the effort to replace the OTIS system. But in addition to that, we have 23 separate systems collecting information in 23 separate ways and reports in excess of 156 ways. And in addition to that, 41 separate paper presentations of that information. Now, what this system proposes to do, in addition to replacing OTIS, is to create a uniform system by which all 1,200 schools in this state can collect, store, and report data. And that comes together by, in effect, allowing 12 vendors to come together under RFPs and bring their expertise and background into collaboration into developing a single system. In addition to the need for reporting information that I've described, we have no current system in place to be able to integrate our CAM, SIM, PASS, PREP business connections. And what that means in reality is, as higher education, beginning in 2004, is going to want to rely on the information around the high standards for entrance of students, we don't have the mechanisms in place in schools to keep that data, and there's no software system that's been designed to do it in an integrated way. So all of that needs to come together to help make this occur. So that if you look at those issues, the ability for accurate data to be collected, for the SIM, CAM, PREP, PASS to work, the ability to expand the report card. Part of the reason we can't do the expansion of the report card that many legislators want is because data comes in with different measuring of individual student results. We have tried to look at the absolute minimum dollars that would be necessary to do this project. It started out as an $18 million project with match money as we were working with it in the department. It was pared down in three successive major efforts to cut the cost in the project, and we have arrived at the $2.5 million, which is the minimum threshold level at which the project could be done. If I were identifying for this committee the critical things that the Department of Education needed to do to help move forward the promise of sound funding, the reporting and accountability, and the student achievement effort between K through 20, I would say that this Data Integrity Assurance Project is absolutely at the top. It is absolutely critical to moving those things forward and not stalling out in the efforts that we're making. So I'm very, very excited to have the opportunity to bring this forward to you. I would be glad to answer any questions, and I'll sneak away as David begins his presentation at that point. But may I answer
any questions or comments? Thank you, Stan.
Thank you very much.
We're anxious to hear a report on Monday, what we can expect in the assistance from the federal government. I'm really anxious to hear about it. That editorial this morning that showed that last three-year audit on the U.S. Department of Education showed $450 million was mismanaged. We should have cut ahead some.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would just say first, we're looking forward to Monday's presentation to you, and we're very happy that we're the Oregon Department of Education and not the U.S. Department.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. We'll let you have that one.
Unless some of the missing money got to us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. For the record, my name is David Reich. Joining me today is Nancy Heiligman. I'm going to present the Data Integrity Assurance Project. What I would like to do is set the context of where we were about 2 weeks ago when I first presented to the committee. If you'll recall, the charts that we have on the easels over here on this side, the project that we're talking about, the Data Integrity Assurance, and if the chair permitting, I'd like to stand.
Please.
I'll kill myself.
project that we're talking about today, DBI, is on here in the yellow, and the green is part of DBI. You saw TESA yesterday, which was the red that Wayne Neuberger presented. Today, we're talking about Data Integrity Assurance. Data Integrity Assurance, perhaps too fancy a name, but that doesn't have much color on here, except for the Oregon Student Record and the FinCAM task up here that Superintendent Dunn described, because most of the money goes to the schools and districts out here on an ADMW formula base. So the target for Data Integrity Assurance, $9.7 million of the $10.5 goes here. There is some money used here for FinCAM task, $2.4 million, but it is distributed to the districts, and then we manage this part, so it's on the chart as an education part, but the money does go directly to the district. What I'd like to do is call your attention to the slide of what the package does. It's always a challenge to make complicated projects, technology-related, and describe them in the simplest possible terms to the committee, so that's what I'm going to try and do. What you have here in the package, to sum it up, it provides incentives, it sets standards, and it certifies systems that meet standards. Now, let me talk just a little bit about that concept.
David, let me interrupt there. Speaking of concepts, which came first, TESA or this database initiative? Or could they, or should they have been done separately earlier, or give me a little story on that.
Chair Senator Hartung, they came at different times, and the database initiative was first. The first idea came in August September of '96, and then came out of that the following legislature. TESA was presented to the legislature after that, 99-01, and the money was put into the e-board for us to come back and request for the Phase 1 project that you heard reported on yesterday.
So I hear you say that the database was brought on board with the idea that we would need something like TESA, and so it really was compatible. You didn't have to reinvent it again like the DMV and a few others?
Well, Chair Senator Hartung, let me explain that, and let me put some meat on that.
Certainly.
What happens is that you have a number of projects
that need to be worked on, and they have different purposes, and they arise out of different requirements and needs. And the challenge for any one of the state agencies or departments is to make those work together. And that's where the department has been extremely successful, as we're demonstrating with the chart here, is that they are complementary projects, so they work together, they leverage each other. The data in one project is available to other projects.
Representative Schrader, excuse me.
If I was under the understanding that the database initiative came out of, you know, the attempt to get good data from all the different school districts back in out of the 97 legislature, because it was like comparing apples and oranges when you're trying to compare FTE and administration and all that, because they all defined it differently. Theoretically, we're hopefully, and with this ongoing project, we'll be defining it the same. And at that time, it was just a function of, quote, getting the chart of accounts set up, unquote. And then when Senate Bill 622 passed last session, the department came to the e-board and said that, well, geez, you know, now we're going to actually have T1 lines to every school in the state. And all of a sudden, it became a reality where we could integrate the database initiative project with the idea of going online, doing the testing, and so they're actually getting, I think, a double benefit here. Not only does it, I think, help the integrity of the database itself, but we also are able to do the student testing. So I think that may not have been fully anticipated, but with 622, that gave us an opportunity to do some really, really good things. Is that correct?
Continue.
Thank you.
Yeah, do you agree with what the representative just said?
Yes.
Oh.
Six, Chair, Senator Hartung, Representative Schrader, Senate Bill 622, again, is a complementary factor that has allowed TESA to move forward. It has allowed the Database Initiative Project to reach out in an electronic manner to the largest number of schools that is possible. So the department does not have a network that you do in the sense of the other agencies. So when the web blossomed and became a viability in the early 90s, it provided a network essentially at low cost to the department to use as a communications means between our schools and districts, which are really our business partners. So it gave us a means to communicate in a business-to-business manner that we did not have before.
Good. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Tro.
It seemed to me also that part of the impetus for the database initiative came from the legislature and came from legislators who realized increasingly the involvement the state had in funding all of the schools and the desire just simply to know on a uniform basis what the money was buying, how it was being used.
Agree with that. Okay. Proceed.
Thank you. Chair, Senator Hartung.
I was discussing the general overall picture of the data integrity assurance in terms of what it provides to the schools and districts. What we are trying to do here with this project is set some standards that schools and districts will follow in relation to their data, the way they gather it, the way they transmit it and report it, the way they account for it. We are trying to provide incentives so that when they participate and they perform these functions, there is value added for them themselves, and then we will certify those systems that come together in consortia to participate in this kind of approach, so that there is a means and a method that values everyone in this process, as we all benefit from better data and the schools and districts benefit as well from better systems.
Can I have the next slide? The outcomes of the project will provide savings realized through consolidation, certification leading to higher quality through standards, and better systems means better, and it's hidden there, accountability. The savings realized through consolidation, we're attempting to touch those 41 districts that are still reporting in paper We're attempting to take those 23 different kinds of electronic systems and reduce those to a more manageable number that can be certified, something 12 or even less. What we're trying to do here with certification is we will publish standards that these centers will have to meet in order to communicate with the department. Now, what that provides to the smaller districts is it provides them, through the consortium, an opportunity to participate in really a first-class data system that they would not otherwise have available to them. The smaller districts don't have the resources to participate in these larger systems, but through this grant proposal, they will achieve, they will be provided the opportunity to participate, and so they get all those benefits that they would not otherwise get if they're using one of those other home-developed systems or paper systems. So this provides them that opportunity then to send us data in the format that we need, and thereby increases the integrity and the quality of the data that Nancy receives in the Data Base Initiative Project and other data collections for the department. The accountability piece, it is $10.5 million is probably a small price to pay for better accountability when we're making decisions that affect over $5 billion in basic school support.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator. Sure.
Does this then have the effect of saving school districts money as they give up their old systems, the separate systems that were talked about, and replace it with this system?
Yes, it Chair, Senator Hartung, Senator Crow, yes, it will, because they will provide better quality service. They will get better quality service from the data center. They know that by participating with that data center, it's been certified, so they know that it meets our needs. They know that not only that, they are providing a uniform, they're participating in a uniform statewide, and I can't emphasize that too much. This will result in a statewide standard, so that we are really comparing apples to apples within the schools using that school level, student level data that we have not been able to do before. So yes, I believe it will provide better quality systems for those districts at a much cheaper price, although we are asking the districts to participate in this. This is not a total 100% subsidy. The districts still have to continue to contribute funds that they have dedicated to technology systems as they are now.
Next slide, please. I think Stan has covered the 23 systems and the 41 districts. The importance of knowing that is that, like anything, when you have to get a number of items all functioning and operating the same, the more items you have, the more difficult it becomes. This effort is simply targeted at reducing those down to a manageable number of 12, which is very similar to the Oregon State model of distributed data centers that support their schools and districts.
The Secretary of State audit recently completed on the DBI project also noted that there was a need for standardization among data items and data collection at the district level. The data, the DBI, being a first-class, world-class success, is only as good in reporting the data as the data that is fed into it. And so we are attempting to meet the need that was pointed out by the audit through this project. And Stan mentioned the 70 OTIS districts. It's important to know that, because those 70 OTIS districts used to be one of the 23 systems. Well, now those 70 districts are going to adopt 70 other systems, so it exacerbates the problem. We would like those 70 districts to join one of those data centers and therefore continue the consolidation down into just 12 rather than having more, which is what will happen if the problem is not addressed.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
When you talk about an OTIS district, what do you mean? Is that... You mean a school district that uses the OTIS program, or what?
The OTIS system, the Oregon Technology Information System, I believe is the last name they had, was a consortium of 70 districts ranging smaller ones to larger ones, that was unable to continue its self-funding, and so the districts, they're phasing themselves out through December of next year, I believe, is when the system will finally stop running.
Okay, and when that system goes, what do they have in place of it?
What Chair Senator Hartung, Senator Troll, what they are doing is finding other systems and other districts to support their needs. So some of them are buying third-party vendors' software or joining with other districts and trying to make ends meet.
So what we're doing with this $10 million, is that going to help them?
Chair, Senator Hartung, Senator Troll, yes, it will, because it'll provide them the capability to continue to pay the same amount of money they were paying to be partnership of OTIS, but join one of the 12 first-class centers and get better quality service that they would not be able to do.
Thank you. Now I understand.
Thank you.
Next slide.
Okay, I have discussed the solution and goals as we've been moving along, and this kind of summarizes them for us. We intend to reduce the number of centers to 12 or even less through the consortium, setting up consortia, as the last bullet point states, encourage large data centers to form consortia. We will establish a committee to set up standards and certify the centers. The committee will be made up of ESD representatives, IT centers, proposed IT centers, and department staff. And department staff will pass rules, have rulemaking authority, under which the certification and the standard setting will take place. We will provide those grants based on student counts, so that the ADMW will be used to reimburse or provide the funds through the grant process to the schools and districts. We, I already mentioned the large data centers, and there was, I don't want there to be any confusion about what a data center actually is. There are several large districts and data centers around the state in existence right now, such as Lynn, Benton, Lincoln, Portland itself is qualified. Beaverton is very large, Clackamas, Salem-Keizer, and what we're talking about is the smaller districts would be able to form consortia with those larger centers and thereby receive the benefit of their increased service.
And I believe that completes the presentation. Some sample certification.
Excuse me, just a second,
yes.
Representative Schroeder.
Representative,
I apologize for coming in late, and maybe you've talked about this some. But if we're going to web-based technology for this, then why do we have separate centers? Why is there not just a program run out of Department of Education and just available to all the school districts everywhere?
Chair, Senator Hartung, Representative Schroeder, very good question, and that actually works in some cases. Some of the systems that the department operate in that manner. For example, the nutrition system is a centralized transaction-based system that the sponsors log on to and provide information to us, and then we use that to disperse the grants. However, in the case of the data that we're dealing with here, this is school information systems, accounting systems, and the school systems are, they're just not, you need to have the system close to the student, down there where the student is. And if you move the data away from the student, then it becomes more difficult to manage the quality. And you have, that's one point. Then you have the other point of the requirements. Each one of these schools and districts is a separate entity with different user requirements in the way that they interact with their students and their registration. If all of the districts had the same user requirements, if all of the rural districts were the same as the metropolitan districts, if the school registration process were all the same, if the socioeconomic factors were all the same, there may be some possibility of doing a statewide student information system. However, it would be very expensive, because every system that's out there, all of the sunk cost that's in there, all the procedures, all of the ways that the actual administration does business in every district would have to change. If you're familiar with any of the districts that have actually implemented new systems, it's usually a 3 to 5 year process where they phase in one system and move to the next one. It's a very expensive process, and to do it statewide, I would think would be high risk and very difficult to achieve. And when you were done, you would be removed from the particular user requirements that the teachers and administration in those schools have at their local level, and a single statewide system would not be able to meet those requirements.
I guess I'd like to, if there's an opportunity out of committee, just chat with you all a little bit about that and the pros and the cons. I mean, the idea of being somewhat flexible is good. The idea of being difficult to change, I'm not as sympathetic to, and I guess I'd like to have more detail on why we're not going to the statewide approach. I look at this as a mechanical, I'm obviously missing something. You know, we're just chart of accounts, we're just trying to get people online, here's how we account for things, this is the way it's done, and if you register, you know, generally a certain way, we understand there may be a few exceptions. If we're going to make a change in the state of Oregon, this would seem to be the propitious time to do it. I guess that's why it's important, I think, to have a good understanding of what the approach is.
Mr. Chair, yes. I'd like to respond to that as well. For the record, I'm Nancy Heiligman, Director of School Finance for the Department of Education. Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, I'd like to echo Dave's comments about the high-risk nature of implementing a statewide system. These systems that we're wanting to support are the payroll and accounting systems and student accounting systems in the schools. And I think ultimately a statewide system would standard would be great, but at this point that would be very expensive to implement, and we do have some large data centers in the state who are providing very good services to schools, and so the idea behind this package is to build on that those regional strengths and to give small districts who could not afford to join those centers the opportunity to do that. And we really see this as a transition. If we're moving to from 23 vendors to 12, that's a big step, and hopefully we could move further in the future.
Thank you.
Chair, Senator Harkin, if I could wrap up, what we want to do is to be able to provide high-quality data to ODE and our members, capacity-improved services to member districts, long-term technology. We will make technology planning part of the requirements to implement the data integrity. We will provide standards for web-based data collection as well as every other type of electronic collection. We will implement the Oregon student record. I didn't mention the Oregon student record previously, but that is a part of this project, the same as SimCam Pass. The Oregon student record is an accomplishment that the IT managers and the department have been working on for at least 2 years that I am personally very proud of, because this is one of the first times nationally that a department has been able to identify a data snapshot of a student and get everybody to agree on it. So what this means is when we implement a SimCam Pass system, which will be more closely aligned to the nutrition system, as I described to Representative Schrader. It'll be more of a centralized system. This will allow us to transfer, since we have the Oregon student record designed, will allow us to transfer that record of a student's progress, as well as their transcript, from school to school electronically and provide that immediacy that is not there now. It takes 8 to 10 weeks to get it in the mail and so on. It will allow us to provide the transcript to the Scholarship Commission, Student Assistance Commission, electronically. It provides all those benefits, provided to the universities and colleges electronically. It provides a way for those 12 districts
to act as one because we have a defined and established standard. And that's what this project is all about, is providing those types of standards for our data centers and schools and districts.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
A question?
Representative Close.
Thank you. The Oregon student records. We from time to time get emails from our constituents saying that they've seen tests go by with confidential type questions, family belief systems, family background, family makeup. Is this only grading, or does this include information from tests that use personal data?
Chair, Senator Hartung, Representative Close. Yes, it's the student's personal record. However, it is not, does not include anything that is not already in the record on file at the district. There's no additional collection. And when it is transmitted, it is encrypted with 128-bit encryption and sent over the Internet to the receiving site. The part that the role the department plays, as I pointed out on the chart over there, we act as a management hub to ensure the security of the transmission so that only those authorized to request a record and to receive a record actually even have access and can log on to the system. So we feel it is every bit as secure as snail mail.
Follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do the parents have access to these records? Are they able to review them before they are transferred from place to place to who knows who?
Chair, Senator Hartung, Representative Close, the parents, this doesn't affect the rights of the parents to review their records. And now, I'm not an expert in educational rule and law. I would have to ask someone else to answer that question for you. But this does not impact that. So whatever right the parent now has that they now exercise when they move from one district to another and then the record is requested by that it be mailed. The law now says that the request goes by mail and the record then is duplicated and mailed in its entirety to the requesting district. This system, I think, actually improves on that because only those who are known to us to have the authority to request and receive will be allowed to do that. So it is
Mr.
somewhat
Chair,
tighter.
Yes. I'm trying to get at the, if you're the Director of Information Resource Management, I don't understand why you can't tell me what the parents' access to those records are. Why wouldn't you know that information?
The access of the parent to the school district?
To the records. That they can go into these records and see what is written about their child, what kind of information is in that file.
Senator Hartung, Representative Close, I'm sorry, that's not something that I'm tasked with. I will get you that answer as soon as I can about what that actually is. I deal with data systems. The paper file, I don't have knowledge of what the students' rights are to the parents' rights are to review that.
Mr. Chair, I would have real concerns about the transferring of confidential information without the parents knowing what's in the file. I think we need to make certain that the parents have access and that they that things aren't being transferred that they would object to.
What's your understanding on as to how it works now?
I just get emails from constituents that say that they aren't given access to, or they can't get things out of their children's files that they object to. Oh. And, you know, sometimes that's justified, and I think sometimes it isn't.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Continue.
Chair, Senator Hartung, the last point then is one that Stan covered, the implementation of a SimCam test performance system to record student progress. This is something that the department has is aware of, that the schools and districts do not now record the information in a manner such that they can take a student and say that at any point in time this student is at such a relationship to their CAM and their pass and their diploma at any point in time. This would provide the tool to the teacher and the student and the counselor so that at any point in time they could say where their student was in that progress as they moved ahead in relationship to their plan that had been developed for SIM, CAM, and PASS. With that, I'd like to conclude. Are there any questions for myself or Nancy Holligman?
Any questions? Representative Schrader.
That's it on the technology?
Roger.
Mr. Chair and Representative Schrader, I believe that's it on the data integrity assurance project, and then they're going to go ahead and discuss the database initiative project that's been ongoing.
That's it. That's it.
Mr. Chair, they're two separate projects.
Yes, at some point, we're very busy, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
We're very busy, and I know we're on a schedule and stuff, but I would very definitely then like to sit down with them and go into a little more detail about exactly what types of information. It's kind of glancing at the booklet as you've been talking, and there's some neat things you picked up that you can do that you hadn't thought of originally that are, so the whole timing and how we do this. And I guess I'd ask, is this being reviewed by the e-government group also?
Mr. Chair and Representative Schrader, yes, the department will be going before that subcommittee either Monday or Wednesday or both days of next week, and this will be reviewed.
The trend, I made my same pitches I made, I guess, the other day, as we do these various technology projects, I am very excited about all the things I think the Department of Ed is doing here, but how, you know, the OTIS thing is, it's better for us to really understand how the OTIS thing is kind of phasing out its funding stream or whatever, and how the, you know, the TESA initiative that the chair referred to and the database initiative and the integrity project all meld together, and how those cash flow goes over time and where your steady state will need to be when you're quote done, or if you're not going to be quote done, what you anticipate the future. That would really help us.
Certainly.
Nancy's very good at that, I know.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's see. Now,
thank you.
Who do we have? Okay. So. Okay. Nancy, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joining me to talk about the Database Initiative Project is Aaron Munter, who is our Project Implementation Manager for the DBI. We are very pleased to report to you today on the progress of the Database Initiative Project. And this is a project that began almost 4 years ago. And the department was directed in a budget note in the last session to report on the completion of phase two to this session, and we are very happy to report that phase two has been completed on time and within budget. Agenda today that we want to go through is first to talk about the challenges, a little bit of information and background on this project, to describe the results that we've achieved in phase two of the project, and to describe our future plans for phase three. And then we'd like to give you a brief internet demo and show you some of the results that you can see on our website. First, just to be clear about what the database initiative is. It is a central relational database within the department that contains school level and district level data about expenditures, revenues, staffing, students, student demographics, and results. And this data is collected via the internet from the districts across the state, and then is presented out on the website again in reports that are available to the public in general and to the schools and to state policymakers. For those of you who are familiar with the project, you'll recall that it began as a pilot, and we started in 1997 based on a mandate from the legislature to provide consistent financial and other data about our schools. We worked with 16 diverse districts across the state and completed that project in January of 1999. In the last session, the legislature approved phase two of the project, and that was to extend this database to all of our schools, districts, and education districts across the state. A little bit of background about the reasons, and Senator Troe already mentioned some of those earlier. In the mid-90s, the state and the legislature were becoming much more aware of the responsibilities and for local school districts, and had lots of questions about how schools were spending their money, how the resources were being used, and what kind of results we were getting from those. And so the key charge was to get some consistent comparable data, and so that we could begin to understand the results of the investments that the state is making in education. In addition to this, within the department, we had a real challenge in terms of manual processes, and the department was surveying districts, collecting a huge amount of data on paper forms. And once those forms came in, the data was going into several different databases in different areas of the department, and we just couldn't link this data up. And the benefits of having a relational database where we can look at all of this data side by side and begin to compare schools really been phenomenal, we think. So that's kind of the background, and I wanted to turn the presentation over to Aaron to talk to you about the solutions that we came up with and what our results have been.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Aaron Munter. I'm the Project Implementation Manager for the Database Initiative Project at the Department of Education. And at a high level, the project really is comprised of three components. It is streamlining and automating the collection of the data, and then storage of the data in the centralized relational database that Nancy mentioned earlier, and then providing some ways to report that data in a meaningful way to various audiences. And so taking a look at first the output side of that and looking at the reporting, we report the data predominantly in two different manners. The first is on the public internet, on the World Wide Web, so that members of the community, constituents, districts, teachers, and students can take a look at the data statewide in all of the different categories that Nancy mentioned earlier. And we have some reports prepared, as well as some opportunities for people to download the data and do additional analysis as they wish. We also provide another mechanism for viewing that data, specifically for legislative analysts, analysts from the governor's office, other agencies, and internal analysts at the Oregon Department of Education. And that provides some additional manipulative abilities with the data so that you can really crunch it in a couple of other ways and get into some of the more detailed part of the data. We refresh both of those at the same time so that the data is current, and as we get additional data, it's provided. On the collection side, we initially were going to automate the system with a single method and provide an automated way so that all districts could send it to us in a consistent format. But we discovered as we started our conversations around the state with a variety of districts that that was not an acceptable method for those districts who didn't have the level of automation of some of the larger districts and those who were served by some of the data centers discussed earlier. As a result, we implemented a second collection mechanism using the web and a web survey format that has proven very popular with the small to medium-sized districts who don't have that infrastructure built in within their own districts. They can utilize that system and continue to provide us that data in a consistent and automated and cleaner method, certainly than the paper was. In terms of the types of data that we have available, really there are six different types of data that we have. And Nancy mentioned them briefly earlier. The first is funding. We do collect data both in terms of budgets and audited actual revenues and expenditures from school districts across the state. We also have some data in student results, looking at assessment scores. Again, all the data that we collect is at the school and the district level. We don't collect individual student-level data for the database initiative. Staffing data is also collected in terms of certificated staff information and staffing levels at the school and the district level. School processes, this would include data elements like class size, whether a school district has an open enrollment policy among the various schools in the district. Student demographics, information about numbers of students receiving a free or reduced price lunch as an example. and infrastructure with a focus on facilities and collecting some data elements about age of facility, size, and date of last remodel as well. Currently in the database, Nancy mentioned earlier that we began with a two-year pilot project involving the 16 school districts and education service districts, and currently we now have 3 years of data for those 16 districts, beginning in 1997, 1998 through 1999, 2000. For the statewide project, however, the statewide implementation began with the 1999-2000 school year, and that data is all available on our public website now. We're in the process of collecting and validating and reporting the 2000-2001 data as we speak, and as that becomes available, that too will be posted in the same manner on the website as well as on our more analytical databases for the legislative and other agency analysts. With that, I'll turn it over to Nancy to talk a little bit more about the audit and our future.
I believe on the first day of the department's presentation that Sue McGlashan mentioned to you that we did have a Secretary of State's audit on the database initiative, and that was on the pilot project. And I wanted to relate the results of that to you. The first thing that they looked at was the data system itself. And, you know, is this a system that is reliable and can process and collect this data accurately? And the answer was yes, that they felt that the system works well mechanically. It's reliable and accurate in processing the data. They also complimented the department for completing the project ahead of schedule and within budget. The financial data, the findings were also positive. The pilot districts that they looked at, they compared to audited data and felt that the districts were had been able to reclassify their expenditures and provide them in a consistent manner. On the non-financial data, the auditors did not note major discrepancies, but they did register some serious concerns in this area, and these all relate to the same issues that David Reich and Superintendent Bunn spoke about, that the schools and districts really need to upgrade their tools, their technology, that their administrative systems, and that In order to do that, they're going to need support from the state, both in terms of the resources, but additionally training. And one of our major focuses in the database project over the next 2 years will be on more comprehensive training at the school level in terms of not only just how to send the data, but what are the definitions and standardizing the methods of collection so that the people, the staff that are in the schools, not just at the district level, but school level people, really understand what's expected of them. And then I think we've already discussed the risks of the OTIS closure, and the auditors were very concerned about that with a third of our districts needing to find new computer providers, that this provided both an opportunity but also a risk to the state if they were not successful in finding strong providers. Looking towards the future, our plans for the next biennium are first to increase our capacity to analyze and interpret the data that we're collecting. That will be a major focus, but I think even more important is this continued work at improving data quality. I already spoke about enhancing the training and support and providing better tools for school districts. We'll also intend to work on integrating our database, the database initiative, with other databases that are in the enterprise. Database that David spoke about. And those are basically student level and teacher level databases that feed data into the database initiative. So that needs to be automated and upgraded.
Sure. Yes,
Have there been policy discussions at the policy committee level about what data the state of Oregon, i.e. the legislature and the governor's office, is interested in, besides what the department may be interested in?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schrader, yes, there's really an ongoing discussion about that. And at the department level, there's been a cabinet-level initiative to reduce the number of data elements that we're requesting from schools, that we really need to focus in on what are the questions that we're trying to answer and what data do we need. We believe that there's a relationship, an inverse relationship to the quantity of data and the quality of data that you'll receive. So we think that's very important to continually look at that. And any time that we initiate a new data collection, we try to look for things to drop that we no longer need to ask the schools.
Just to follow up, I mean, you outlined very nicely, and I understood there were certain types of data originally involved with the database initiative, and now the desire to go beyond that, and that's fine, but I think that should have, I guess I'd like to see, before I pass out a budget, you know, understand, hey, what exactly are we doing and why that's going on, because there's no end of data that people can plug into the computer systems to generate very neat information, and some of it's all very worthwhile, but there's degrees of worthwhile, and I'd just like to keep everyone on the same page. Yeah, we voted for this, and yes, we understand it gives us X, and that X gets us further down the road to an outcome. And I think we have to start attaching some serious outcomes now to a lot of the newer databases that we're securing.
I thank Representative Schrader for that question, because that's what's been in the back of my mind for the last 15 minutes, and that trying to think, now how do I ask this question without looking really stupid about where we're heading? So I let you do it. Well, you know, you've got to embarrass yourself in order to learn anything. But, you know, that really does, what I want to know when we're all done with this, are we really, you know, making an opportunity for us to improve the quality of education for the kids, and is it cost effective? Because I know in my own business, you can just gather data and data and data, and it's not meaningful. But do you feel like we're moving in the right direction? And did I understand you to say there's an advisory committee, or at least you ask yourself this regularly?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schrader, I couldn't agree with you more. We do have internal committees that work on this, but we also have an external committee from school districts and ESDs that advise us on what are the most important data elements and what should we be looking at. We've also run focus groups with a broad variety of stakeholders to ask those people the same questions, and have worked very closely with the Quality Education Commission as they look at school programs and the latest research to make sure that the data that we're collecting is going to answer questions that are important. And I just believe this is an ongoing process, and it would be very easy to just keep adding and adding without subtracting. And so we're making a very conscious effort to do that. I think over time, these data elements will change as we learn more. And there will be some that will say, this just isn't very interesting, or, you know, we don't really need these data, and there will be other questions that come up, certainly some from the Quality Education Commission that we're looking at including.
Thank you.
Let's see, the third major issue for the next 2 years is to continue integration with other department initiatives, including the report card, and David Reich spoke to that earlier, and also the state school fund distribution is really operated basically separately from the database, and we're working at integrating that, and then just an ongoing relationship with the quality education model, and I want to talk a little bit more about how the database and the model work together. First, the database provides school-level data, and the quality education model is built based on prototype schools. And so we have a very close match between actual data from the database and the estimates that are made in the quality ed model, that we use the same categories, the same types of definitions. So they work very closely together. And we believe over time that as we gather more data, that data will feed into the quality ed model, improve the precision of the model, and those estimates will inform the database, and I'm sure will lead to other data questions and data collections, and then just this ongoing cycle, so that there should be a continuous link and improvement between these two initiatives.
Yes,
Representative Winters.
Since the quality ed model is based on actually cost in its prototype, will your database, you know, as you merge everything, be able to talk about student outcomes based on the dollars that we spend?
Mr. Chair, Representative Winters, that really is the ultimate goal of the quality ed model, or one of the goals. And I think we've taken beginning steps. That is something that every state is attempting to do, or I think Oregon is probably one of a handful of states that is out on the cutting edge. We're not there yet, but I believe that over time that we can begin to make those links. And right now, with the governor's proposed budget and the school improvement fund proposal to focus additional funding on elementary reading programs, I think we have an opportunity to begin to make that work and to begin to see the connection as we incorporate additional resources and invest in focused areas in our schools, and then to report back the results and make sure that that's exactly what's happening.
Follow-up?
Certainly.
And with happy to hear you talk about the reading program and the emphasis on it. And yet, I read in the paper the other day that some of the districts kind of implied that once we leave this building, they or may not have to implement the reading program. How? Maybe it's not the question for you, but it would be for education. How do we assure that those dollars are being spent for those purposes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Winters, the department will be providing you quite a bit of detail to answer that question on the accountability system that the department is working on, and I believe Kate Dixon will report to you next week on that. But the department intends to take a very active role in supporting schools towards meeting those goals, and also making sure there is an accountability system in place.
There was questions that were raised when we were doing the quality ed model review of the difficulty of extrapolating from a prototype when you have so many variables, you know, that are out there in the community. So I guess my question is, if we use the QEM model and with all those variables, how will you match all that data?
Mr. Chair, Representative Winters, that's a very good question. One thing to remember is that the quality education model is really a tool to determine funding. And so its major purpose is based on the quality goals established in statute. The model estimates what it would cost to get there based on research and public priorities. And because these are prototypes, there isn't an Oregon school that looks exactly like the prototype. But we do believe that over time, if districts or if schools are not meeting the goals, and that they will begin to look at the programs in the prototype school and begin to align more closely with those. There is lots of local decision making allowed under the quality ed model, but also a school district that was not improving, a school that was not meeting the standards, the department would begin to ask, you know, maybe you should be looking at those kinds of research-based practices. So I think, again, this is going to take time, and I think the department next week will talk to you in a lot more detail about this.
Okay. Proceed.
To move to the budget,
yes, Senator Trow.
Since I had to leave the room for a while, if you've already asked this question, you tell me, and I won't ask. But how are we going to be able to use this data to make better policy? What do you think we can do? Well, you were us, and you had access to this new data.
That's the question, yes. That's exactly the question that we asked.
Did you already ask that?
Yeah, but I'd like to hear the answer again.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Trow, I think the answer is, well, there are more than, there's probably more than one thing, one answer. As you make decisions about funding and where the money should go, you need to understand how schools are allocating their resources. What are the what is the research telling us that is working in schools, and then what results are we getting? And as we worked with the Quality Education Commission, the question that came up over and over is, if the state invests additional dollars in schools, then can we expect improvements in performance, and what happens if that doesn't occur? I believe that we will be able to begin to make connections between resources and student performance, and resources are not everything. There has to be also effective practices in place, but I think we'll begin to make those links, and I think as policymakers, you need that information. You need to know that you need the feedback. We made this investment 2 years ago or 4 years ago, and what were the results, and what was that effective?
I guess one of the things that used to be the case when we sent all this information into the State Department from schools on in so many different systems, not always the same information, reported differently and so forth, was that it came in such garbled form that it couldn't really be used for much of anything. And so it sat on a shelf or didn't get used, and it was a big burden just sending it in. Now we have a system that seems to be unified and effective, and in comes the information, and the question is, then how can the information be used so we can do something better with it? And if it's just information that's never used, it's not much good.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, I think the real power of this database lies with the information that it provides to schools, and because they can begin to look at schools that are similar to them, and we'll be able to show you in our demo some of the tools that we've provided them so that they can begin to look at what other schools are doing, and that will help with that continuous improvement process.
Okay.
Quick question.
Certainly.
Will your database include such information as to the level of participation of parents within the schools?
Mr. Chair, Representative Winters, we do have one measure right now in the database that is number of volunteer hours in each school, and that's a little broader measure than parent involvement. And actually, we've just been discussing are there better measures? For example, one suggestion is participation in parent conferences as a measure. And there is a lot of research going on in that area right now because parent and community involvement is very important. And so we believe that over time we will develop better measures, or if other states develop those, what we can adopt them. But we'll be continually looking for better ways to measure what is important in schooling.
I raise that because a lot of the discussion that we had in the Quality and Model Review Committee and some of the information that the teachers shared, that the involvement of the parents was very critical and crucial to the education of the students. And it would seem to me, if that's a critical piece, that that should also be a critical piece of the data that we're collecting, particularly when we're talking prototype models and when we're looking at whether or not a school or student is successful, that that piece would be there. And I would just encourage that we really look seriously, not just for teachers' conferences, but parents that get engaged in the school itself. I knew that there was one time when parents were very actively engaged in schools and with the students, with their child. And I also know that there was a movement where the educational community didn't want parents involved. So it's kind of interesting to me that now we want them back involved. I think somehow we need to have that tracking.
Right.
May I just add to that? I think the reason we're so anxious to get them back involved, we have seen, at least over the last two generations where you and I grew up and went to high school, our school now is the poorest performing high school in the state, and a lot of that is attributed to lack of parents, not only participation, but lack of a parent at home. So I think it is a critical part of improving the schools, and after all, that's what we're trying to do, is improve the environment and the opportunity for a better learning opportunity. Proceed.
Okay, to move on, the budget for the database initiative project is included in the department's base budget. For 1999-01, it was approximately $5.9 million. The request for the next biennium is at about $5 million, or a reduction of $919,000, and that is that phase out is due to the fact that the initial implementation has been finished, and those contracted dollars can be eliminated from the budget. Now we'd like to take a few minutes to demonstrate some of our reports on our website, and as we move to that, I want to mention to you that this is not a live internet demonstration, that it's a canned demonstration that we put on the laptop, but we can show you some examples of the reports and some of the possibilities for using them. This is a copy of our website and the reports menu, and I think we'll go into the profiles. And we have what we call a similar schools comparison. And this particular report is, let's go ahead and pull this up, is one where you can pick a target school. Can we go back, Brian, and... okay, and in this case, we're picking North Eugene High School. And then there are several areas of matching criteria that you can select. And so let's go to the first one. You get three different criteria, but there are several different criteria that you can use to select a similar school. Student enrollment, English second language students, free and reduced lunch students, or by ethnicity. So in this case, I think we're going to use free and reduced lunch percentages. And then you can go down to the yeah, let's go down to the bottom. You can select other criteria. And then here we've chosen 10th grade reading. And what this database search will do then is to find two other schools with similar characteristics based on the criteria that you select and find the highest scoring schools in those areas. So in this case, our target school was North Eugene High School. The database selected Bandon High School and Elgin High School. And then the report gives you information on just a variety, really a profile of the schools, student demographics, spending per student, information on classes, class size, staffing, the qualifications of teachers, the socioeconomic status of the schools, and then the student performance on the state assessment test.
Yes.
So theoretically then, if I'm at Canby High School and I'm having a little trouble getting my kids doing better in, say, a particular area of the sim or something, and I think, oh, geez, I certainly can't compare to Portland, but I think I'm somewhat comparable to, say, Roseburg or, you know, some other school. I could pop onto this as an educator or as an administrator and then try and look at their performance, similar school profile that I think would match mine, and then say, oh, geez, this school seems to be doing better here. I'll call up, you know, Johnny B. or Betty Sue and find out what they're doing and see if it's something. That's the value you see in it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, that's exactly it. And this particular report was developed with our curriculum department, with the education specialists who are working with the low-performing schools and looking for similar schools who are performing very well and then hooking those schools up and getting them talking to each other about what programs and practices they're using. Brian, let's go to the funding reports. The profile reports really give you a summary, and we have lots of detailed reports. Let's go to expenditures in the first report up there, the actual expenditures. What I wanted to show you here was just a definition. If you can go up to the definition button at the top. For the ease of use of the reports, on each report we define really clearly what the purpose of the report is, what the data sources are when it was reported to us. Each column is defined and any calculations that we make are defined so that users can understand what the measures are and that if school districts are trying to interpret the data or answer questions, they're able to understand exactly where we got this data and how we're using it. Let's go back, and I also wanted to show the download feature on this. For each one of these reports, you have the ability to download the data from that report into an Excel spreadsheet. So if we haven't displayed the data in a way that's really useful to you, as a user, you have the option to just take that data and work with it, answer questions using a spreadsheet program. Let's move over to student data. I wanted to just show you one other feature here. If we go to students and we have an enrollment comparison. This particular report, you can compare schools or districts enrollment over time. And so you can select two different years and then make a selection. And on our reports, we also have the capacity to filter by different criteria and then to sort. And in this particular case, let's just go to the report, Brian, because this is already set up. We selected 2 years, 1999 and 2000, 1997-98, and looked at districts between the size of 3,000 students and 10,000 students, and then we sorted them by enrollment loss or growth. And so We can see here that Three Rivers School District in the last 2 years has had a significant enrollment decline. And then just scroll through the data, and we'll see the districts that have grown significantly over the same period of time. So we have about 30 standard reports, but with all the each report, there's lots of ability to select various criteria, sort, and look at the data in various ways. So there's literally thousands of reports that you can pull off the website. I think we have a few other reports that we could show you, but I think that gives you a basic idea of how it functions. There is lots of detail on here on students, class sizes, staffing, we would invite you to visit the website and take a look at it.
To track the utilization, sounds really, really intriguing. It gets a lot of, Senator Tro has asked about, is this of use to schools? What is, are you going to be tracking your hit rates on your website to see how well schools and other individuals are using this system?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, we do track that, and I'm not up to date on the recent statistics. Do you know
it? Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, our statistics have steadily grown over the last couple of years, most notably as statewide implementation began and started to take shape. As one would expect, the hit rate or the visits jumped dramatically at that time as well. I don't have current figures about numbers, but we analyze that data on a periodic basis, and each time are routinely surprised at the growth in folks who come and use the data.
Yeah. Are you familiar with what other states are doing? Most states doing what we're doing, and at what level are they now?
Mr. Chair, yes, we do keep in contact with other states, and there are, I believe, four other states who have school-level data that they collect in this manner. Most states would like to be where Oregon is in terms of this kind of database and the kinds of information we're collecting. I think that the legislature really needs to be commended for thinking about this, you know, 4 years ago, and you know, combined with the new web technology and this idea that laying the foundation for accountability with good data and to support school reform and school improvement and making data-driven decisions was very wise, and many states have jumped ahead and are trying to do that without the data, and they're mm-hmm. really now having to regroup and wish that they had this.
Okay, proceed.
That is our presentation, and if there are any more questions, we'd be happy to respond to them.
Well, looks like we are complete, and thank
great.
You.
Great, thank you very much.
Very exciting.
It truly is. You know, one of the things that I like about what I hear you saying is, and not that we should necessarily respond to, you know, what the present administration wants, but, you know, what they're telling us in terms of education, you know, schools that aren't improving, like if they go through a period of 5 years where there's no improvement, they go downhill, they've got a plan, you know, to shut them down through vouchers or something, which I hope that never comes about, but it looks to me like we have the data to know exactly how our schools are doing, and we ought to be able to avoid that kind of federal intervention or whatever you want to call it.
Mr. Chair, I believe that we are developing the tools to really pinpoint what schools need to do to improve. And working with the quality education model and some of the tools developed in our curriculum department, I think we're just entering a very exciting phase for education.
Yeah, and you know, you ought to, I'm thinking back to the 95 session when we were trying to figure out if, you know, we were spending the money where we needed to on these reform movements. I can remember Ozzie Rose was, at least to me anyway, was the one that said, we'll never be able to understand if we're making any progress the reform, and two, we can compare, you know, what the various schools are doing, you know, the old apples to apples and whatnot, but it looks to me like we're moving in that direction, and so thank you for the work you've done.
Yeah, thank you.
Are we going to be able to keep it current and keep up to date and keep the system providing us information that's relevant for the time?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tro, yes, I believe we will. We're gathering data right now for 2001 and...
Easy to keep it programmed and
Yes, at this point, you know, I assume we'll make changes in the future and you know, that will take extra work. But right now, I think we're through the hard part, which was making the conversion, you know, from the paper to the automation, and it is easier for schools to report this way, and I think, yeah, this is a system that's set in place and will work well.
Healthy to maintain and keep from?
Well, our request is for a budget of $5 million, which I would expect would be an ongoing expense to run this whole data collection validation and reporting system.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're requesting money to keep it current, which I think is appropriate. And I would think, you know, some of these probably little savings will never really get a dollar figure attached to, but all local districts, because this is hopefully easier for them, much less time consuming, this is the data they report. So they have to go through this big elaborate process. Hopefully they can have more, again, teaching time, as the chair has talked about, Senator Trow's talked about. So it's one of those kind of hidden savings that improves school quality time, which is outstanding.
I might add to that, you know, I look at that $5 million figure and I think, wow, you know, our small rural districts, what they could do and drop. But, you know, if we do have 500,000 students, that's only $10 a student to get this kind of information that I think will really give us the opportunity to not only know how we're doing, but to improve in certain areas. Mm-hmm. So, to me, that's very cost effective.
Mm-hmm. I certainly agree.
Thank you. So, what do we need now?
We're losing our edge, sir. We're not paying those.
I know it. I apologize for being so soft.
Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, that wraps up the public hearing for today. I just wanted to make some announcements.
Certainly.
About Monday's agenda, because it's a very full one. As mentioned earlier, the department will be coming back to discuss the federal funds availability issue that you all have so much interest
in.
Mm-hmm. There will be a bill before the subcommittee that will require a work session, so we need to get everybody here for that. And that has to do with some supplemental limitation that the department needs to distribute additional lottery bond proceeds that they now have that need to go to the schools. The 99 legislature did not provide that limitation because there was some question whether they would need those bonds to be issued or if they would have general fund. And we'll talk more about that on Monday. Third, there will be an informational meeting regarding a grant request that the department had, or a request to apply for a grant. And it's a private grant, and so you don't need to approve their request to apply. You just need to acknowledge the report that they're going to give you. And then lastly, we'll start on Senate Bill 5513, the School Improvement Fund, and 5514, the State School Fund. Public hearings. And I had promised you a report a couple weeks ago about some interim activities that occurred during this biennium, 99-01 biennium, and I'd like to distribute that for you because it has information in there about issues that you'll hear about next week, particularly the Quality Ed Commission and some of the other work groups that looked at K-12 education issues during the interim. So I'll get that to you now, and I'll just briefly go over it. If you turn the page, cover page to page one, it shows you the table of contents and the work groups that are being reported on. And if you just take a look at that first summary, they pretty much all follow the same format. It gives you some background on how the work group was created, what its purpose was, some background on its activities, and then
the end results, and then the committee members, and then if you want additional information, we listed their staff contacts and also the resources that we used to put the summary together, and in most cases, it's a report that was issued by the work group. And there are also some links there if you want to go out on your computer and get the information.
Great. Is that it?
That should do it.
There's no other business coming before the committee. We are adjourned.